Let's take our Bibles and look together in Jeremiah chapter 23. We'll read from verse 1 down to verse 21 for the scripture reading. And here we have a beautiful portion that speaks of the branch of righteousness here in the midst of all of this prediction of the woe that would befall Jerusalem. Yet here we have God's promise that he would not completely destroy that branch, that seed of David that he had promised to David, but in time would bring him into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, the branch of righteousness, the one who would come and earn and establish that righteousness and then lay down his life. Upon completion of that work, God would declare righteous everyone for whom he paid the debt. But here, Jeremiah warns the pastors. That word is shepherds. Woe be unto the pastors or the shepherds that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. There are a lot of those around today that we may not know of. You normally think of preachers preaching false religion, works, congregations, but have you ever thought that there may be some sheep in there? That for now, those are under the leadership of those people, those preachers, and yet if they're the Lord's, he's going to bring them out. And so here's the woe to such. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. So here's a woe against those preachers that may have currently the Lord's redeemed ones under their tutelage, and yet they're not pointing them to Christ. He says to them, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. I'll attend to you for the evil of your doings. He would bring evil work upon those unfaithful shepherds, even as Christ said of many in that day, send him, Lord, Lord, have we not done many mighty works in your name? He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. And so here's the promise to restore every wounded and scattered sheep. I love this. I will gather what? The remnant of my flock out of all countries, whether I have driven them. So yes, they would be taken away into captivity, but he would bring them back. As we're studying in the book of Ezra, that remnant that he caused to come back, the temple rebuilt, the sacrifices restored. I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. So this would be the apostles, the day of Christ. This would be those preachers, even today, that the Lord has raised up, that continue to feed in truth the sheep of the Lord. They shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is their shepherd. And notice who sets up the shepherds over them. It's God. There's no blessed state better than for the Lord to take his sheep, place them under a faithful gospel preacher. He says, the days will come, verse 5, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. That's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his work that he came to accomplish of the line of David, the seed of David, described here as a branch. That's a green shoot, even though at the time it did not appear to be so, yet the Lord had purposed that it would be so. There was one that the Lord said should remain childless, that last king of Judah that Nebuchadnezzar came and took into captivity. We saw that in Jeremiah 22:30. But that the Lord would raise up another, that would, that seed would prosper. And that's who he's describing right here, verse 5. Verse 6, in his days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. He speaks of Judah and Israel. He's talking about the true Israel of God in Christ. And this is the name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. That's an interesting name and title, but that's exactly who God calls him, and that's exactly who his sheep, when taught by the Spirit of God, call him, the Lord our righteousness. This complete phrase in verse 6 is actually, in the Hebrew language, just two words, Jehovah Tzidkenu. Jehovah meaning the sovereign God, Tzidkenu meaning righteousness. And that's the name that pertains to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not only the Lord of righteousness, but he is the Lord our righteousness. That's the positive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. On completion of his death, sin put away. See, that's the negative, but righteousness imputed, that's the positive. So not only has God, through Christ, taken away the sin of his people, but he's done more than that. He has imputed to them a righteousness that answers to God alone and is the possession. When it says here, the Lord our righteousness, is the possession of that people. Redemption and justification in Scripture are simultaneous. Paul wrote about it there in Romans, being justified freely, Romans 5:24, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It happens simultaneously, not before, not after. And so that's when that righteousness became the righteousness of his people. We just find out about it. For the Lord's, when the Spirit takes this world and reveals Christ into the heart of one of these redeemed, justified ones, it's not then that they're justified, but that's when they're caused to look back and see how God purposed and accomplished it all in the person and work of Christ. And so we see the greatness here of God's work in gathering and restoring his remnant, verses 7 and 8. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. See, to that point, the biggest event was the Passover, bringing of Israel out of Egypt. Now they've been carried away into bondage again. And this generation now, by God's mercies, would say, in verse 8, the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. I liken this to our own experience if we're the Lord's. We can talk about God having brought Israel up out of Egypt and see that as a type and picture of the work of Christ. But what is our testimony now? What is our captivity from which the Lord has delivered us? Well, it's at the cross. That's where that great deliverance occurred. And so now, blessed be the Lord, which liveth, which brought up the seed of his people at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our time of deliverance. But here in verses 9 and 10, we see pain that was brought with false prophets. And literally, Jeremiah's broken heart. I know people today make jokes about what's being preached, but it's not a laughing matter. Jeremiah here says, my heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. Imagine him in this day, standing alone. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome, because the Lord of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. You compare what this word says concerning Christ and God's glory, and you hear what's being preached in such a light manner, giving man the power to save himself, so-called free will religion. It's heart-wrenching. For the word is full of adulterers. The land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. That could be said today. As we look around, yes, a very religious society, one that purports to be so-called Christian, and yet anything for both prophet and priest are profane. Who is the one, who are the ones being blamed here other than the religious leaders? Both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness. The Lord said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. You preach any other righteousness than that of Christ alone. It is iniquity. It's unrighteousness. He says, I have found this in my house. That is, in that temple which was built as a type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's profanity, there's adultery. And so it is today when people take this word that has everything to do with Christ and him crucified, and they profane it, they pervert it by adding man's will to it, or man's works, or man's way. Here he says, wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways of the darkness. People that follow these prophets as the prophets themselves, the blind leading the blind, slippery ways, and they're in darkness. And they shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. The Lord would visit them, but it wouldn't be in grace. It would be in judgment with the taken away into captivity by the Babylonians, an idolatrous nation. You want to give yourself to idolatry? God give you up to idolatry. And I believe that's what's happening even here in the United States. There's idolatry that has a long time ago taken over congregations and places where people at one point perhaps had the word and read it and heard it preached and Christ exalted, but today they're nothing but tombs, open tombs and sepulchres, whited sepulchres, the way Christ put it. And I've seen verse 13 to 15. Here's the judgment promised. I've seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. Now we're past that here with Jeremiah. Now he's preaching to Judah, but he's reminding them of their sister nations or tribes. That's who's spoken of there, the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. But then he comes back and says, I've seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem. No one learned from the 10 tribes being taken away in captivity in Jerusalem a horrible thing. See, in Samaria, it was the building up of the golden calf, the worship of the golden calf. They were gone 100 years prior to Jeremiah writing this, and yet it's fresh in his mind. And so now Jerusalem, I've seen the same horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom and the inhabitants thereof of Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. What an indictment that here these that purported to be worshipers of God and had the temple. They had it in Jerusalem, and yet they were nothing but profane and adulterers. And that's why Jeremiah calls out one more time, same message today, don't listen to the corrupt prophets. You turn somebody on the radio to listen to them, or you watch them on TV and you think, oh, that sounds interesting. How long do you need to listen before God gives you the discernment to know It's just flattering words, exalting man, and nothing to do with Christ. Even if they do speak of Christ, it's corruptly. That's what he's saying here. Thus saith the Lord, verses 16 and 17. The Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart. That means they've never had the revelation of Christ given them, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. According to the law and the testimony, it says in Isaiah, let every word be established. And if they speak not according to this word, this scripture that we have here, it's because the truth is not in them, the light is not in them. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said. How many preachers do you listen to that's how they open it up? Well, the Lord said, here's what he gave me. And yet it's not according to his word. Ye shall have peace. This is what they preach, peace, peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. We talk about a modern message. If you made your decision for Jesus, if you walked that aisle, just like driving back the other day, I saw several billboards that talked about, you want to know the way to heaven? This is a billboard. You want to know the way to heaven? ABC. Accept Jesus as your Savior, believe on him as Lord, and confess your sins. That's the message. It has nothing to do with the work of Christ. It has everything to do with what you do. Accept, believe, confess. That's a perversion of the gospel. It's not what we have done for Christ at last. It's what he has done for his own. But they say that no evil come upon you. You can be sure of heaven is your own name. That's what they're preaching. And it was preached back here. They were saying the temple. Well, look, we have the temple. Even though Jeremiah was prophesying that temple would be destroyed, the temple. And so, here in verses 18 through 20, we see the serious nature then of God's judgments. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Ever ask that question? Did you hear people today? Where are those that have stood in the council? That word council means the determination of the Lord, what he has said, and heard his word, not just physically, but spiritually. Who hath marked his word and heard it? He says, behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind, and it shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. Oh, what a condemnation to have lived one's life here under a false profession, not knowing the true Christ and Savior, having believed a lie, and then to be taken into judgment. The judgment is, even now, being in darkness. That word whirlwind refers to a hot wind blowing from the south. Frequently, it's mentioned throughout the scriptures. It's a type of God's anger and judgment. And he's really saying, who's going to turn it back? When God has purpose, according to his counsel, to execute, perform the thoughts of God's heart. And here again, we'll stop with this in verses 21 and 22. The corrupt prophets were not sent by God. He says, I have not sent these prophets, yet they reign. Just take a man's word for it, because he says he's a preacher. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesy. And they do so holding this Bible in their hand. It's amazing what they can dig out of here and put together in a message that has nothing to do with the counsel of God. Nothing to do with his eternal will and salvation of sinners and how he chose those he'll save. Nothing to do with the difference between vessels of mercy and vessels of wrath. Nothing to do with the work of Christ alone for salvation. Yet, these run, they prophesy, God hadn't sent them, but if they had stood in my counsel, here it is. See, how do you know one that's truly son of God, and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doing. Instead of preaching peace, peace, when there is no peace, to stand in God's counsel. What's God's counsel? It's Christ. and to declare him that anything less than Christ alone is condemnation. Precious Father, I thank you for your word. Precious it is if you've given ears to hear and eyes to see. I pray that you would please to bless it even as we've gathered here to worship you, to hear of your blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and enable me to exalt him clearly, plainly, and thoroughly, even as he set forth in your word. We give you the praise, honor, and glory in his precious name.